And then the next one, because they got away with the first one, they tried to do it again the next play. And that's when I went out there arguing again. This time they did allow us to sub. I was out there screaming the whole time, so I'm not exactly aware of what happened with our 12 guys. But obviously we had 12 guys out there. They gave us time to sub, and we didn't get one off. And so the second one was on us.
And there you go. That's my point. And that's what you were saying too, you know, Jake, that you talked about, you alluded to, is Swanson would it have been his first hire. You talked about, hey, look, do I really want to hire these guys? And you talked about how it took longer than what it expected. Kyle Shanahan said he was arguing with the official, seeing what's going on. They subbed on the first one. They didn't give him a chance. He thought it was a horrible job by the officials, and I understand that, and he's right. But now he's going with the officials, and where's his other coaches? Where are the other people that pulls the take? Why did? And he said, I don't know what happened.
He takes his attention off the field for 1 second, and then suddenly they leave 12 men on the field.
And that was something going back to last season. It felt like he had to take a bigger role with the defense because he didn't trust Steve Wilks.
Yep.
You know, and Steve Wilks running a cover zero, and Kyle calls timeout and loses his mind. There was a lack of trust there. And I'm not necessarily saying he doesn't trust Sorensen, but when you have something like that where you have 12 men on the field, your first order of business should be, okay, let's make sure our personnel is right
exactly.
immediately. And to have that is, I'm not going to say it's fireable, but it is, what were we doing here? You better have a good explanation. And if you don't, we're going to have some serious conversation.
And Kyle didn't throw him under the bus. He just said, he gave a very detailed description of what was going on. But you see how he said, I don't know what happened. Don't think behind closed doors he's not having that conversation.
No doubt. He just didn't say it publicly.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got to have that conversation because you can't do this. This is the National Football League. You match personnel. He said he sees 12 personnel, so I'm going to go with base. You have personnel. It's simple. You watch 10 personnel come in. If it's 12 personnel, if it's 21 personnel, two backs. If it's 22 personnel, that means two tailbacks. If it's 21 personnel, that means a fullback and a tailback. If it's 12 personnel, that's two tight ends. So you have a guy that's watching what's going on.
Yeah, yep. It's unacceptable. And not to pile
back
on.
The back! Okay, I already knew. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. Yeah. I love it. but not to pile on, but... The tough thing also about this season going sideways, because they doubled down, they're basically already playing all of their young guys. So it's not like if they start, you know, tanking that they're just suddenly going to be able to play all of them. I mean, Guerrero, you can make a case, whatever. Maybe Drake Nugent, their backup center from the practice squad. But that's what we're talking about. Like, they've already had to rely on all of their rookies in this season. So when it goes sideways, as it's going, it's not like they're going to be able to just say, all right, just play all the young guys, whatever. We'll rest up. They're already playing all of those young guys. So it's not like it's going to get much better in that respect.
And at least, to be fair, a decent portion of the young guys playing pretty well.
They've been great.
Specifically the defensive backfield. Like, they've been pretty darn good. Malik Mustafa and Renardo Green. I'd like to see Ricky Pearsall involved a little bit more, but the Niners' young guys have been pretty good. So that is a plus if we are looking for a minor positive in what has been an overall major negative for the Niners so far this year. Let's go back out to the phones here. It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game, but no Willard or Dibs this week. Happy early Thanksgiving to everybody out there. It's Mark Randy, Lo Neal, and Jake Hutchinson. Up next is Javier in Vacaville. Javier, what's up? You're on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
How you doing, Mr. Randy, Mr. Hudson, and legend, Mr. O'Neill? So,
my man.
I have two quick points on each side. I want to say, you know, it's an honor to talk to Mr. O'Neill. It baffles me that we play the blasphemy of Sorensen saying that missed tackles are a good thing, because playing 4 years of college football and playing physical with an F at the nickelback position as a specialist and listening to Mr. O'Neill playing fullback when he posed his will on the person in front of him, A-gap, to A-gap, and I try to preface my game on that as a defensive player at Calhoun University, nowhere near the level of Lorenzo Neal. But that is fireable offense, because I don't want to hear anything about missed tackles are good. Any good defensive coach, any good football coach, period, will tell you no missed tackle is a good tackle. But that's where we're at right now as an organization defensively. You look at the All-22 to say we had 12 men on the field, two snaps in a row. Yeah, they had a legal substitution, blunder, first snap. Second snap, they're trying to go into a 50 front, a five-man surface. So go five-man front with their base four, nickel, and Mike backers, Fred Warner. Devondre Campbell looked like he doesn't know what he's doing, like he's over there sitting, like he's back, you know, getting a defensive install. He's just standing there, force him. Defensive coordinator. scream at him. But I'm saying, as a high school teacher and a football coach at the varsity level, I'm chewing out my linebacker if I'm going in the 50 man front because they're getting gassed. D gap to D gap the whole drive. And then Devondre Campbell just stands there when they go in their 5-man surface. And he's just like, well, what do I do? What do you mean, what do you do? You're coming out of the game. But again, we want to talk about them not being able to stop the run. Oh, it's a defensive tackle. No, it's not a defensive tackle. You're telling me right now you can't walk down Malik Mustafa and go into a 4-4 front and bring a nickel blitz from Diablo Lenore and go one high? I don't care if we're getting beat vertical. Stop the run. Defense, your job is to stop the run first. If I get beat vertical playing cover one or cover three, then so be it. Jacobs looked like an NFL Hall of Famer yesterday. 20 broken tackles. Talking about defensive tackles that haven't played for us in weeks. No, Sorensen is not ready. Offensively, we have Kyle Juszczyk as the tight end H-back that we don't use accordingly and the way we need to use properly. Eric Saubert is a journeyman for a reason. Our best five skill position players go as follows: Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, Jordan Mason, Christian McCaffrey, and then Deebo Samuel and Kyle Juszczyk at six. Them six on the field at all times, all game long. If that means you're going to take Deebo out and or McCaffrey to give Mason some runs, it needs to happen. I don't want to see this. Well, we don't have a – you don't use Kyle Juszczyk the right way. Lastly, if Kyle Shanahan wants to get out of whatever he's in now, because he has a great system, but it's been figured out, he's lost touch. The NFL has taken it and expanded it, made it better. You need to get offensive coordinator. Brian Daboll and or Daniel Jones to add to what they're doing will only benefit. If people smack their lips and roll their eyes, go watch the All-22 tape. The Niners were dominated from D-gap to D-gap. From the second they started the game to the last second they finished, they got their head beat in. They didn't play any type of physical football. Most importantly, they look soft, weak, and done, tired. Please, Mr. O'Neill, second what I'm saying, because I know you know what I'm talking about. I know you know what I'm talking about, sir. 100%.
Appreciate the call over here. He's speaking your guys' language over there.
Man, he makes some valid points. You got to try to fix some things, and he's speaking, you know, there's a guy that knows what he's talking about. Some of the things that he was saying, I'm like, okay, I do agree. Some of the things that, you know, you're like, okay, here's a question. He brings up a great question. You know, you bring, if you're playing with four down, do you bring the safety down, especially when you're getting gashed? Do you say, look, let's bring one more in that they can't block. Let's come off the slot. Let's figure something out.
And Mustafa's physical enough to do that.
I will say, I did see a couple times that they had nine in the box and the Packers still ran it against it, which begs the question of, like, is this a structural problem with how they run their defense and their front? That's something to think about. But yeah, I think Javier is making some really good points. I don't always agree with all of them in terms of, you know, you have to get everybody off the field so you can get Mason on. I don't necessarily know if we need to do the two running backs thing, but I agree with him for most part. That was a great call.
I think he did a great job of just talking about his concerns and a guy that knows something about football. So the Niners understand where they're at. But Kyle Shanahan, he understands, hey, look, I'm dealing with the officials because they did do something wrong. They didn't give him time to match the 12 personnel. So he's like, look, I called the guy on it. The second time was on us. So here's Shanahan doing what he's got to do. You got to let a head coach do what he believes is right. That's when your assistants and players, they need to do a better job.
Yeah.
You can't put that on Cal.
And I do think the point about the offensive coordinator is interesting, because that, I think people have been bringing that up a little bit more. Do they need an offensive coordinator? I don't necessarily know that would benefit Kyle in terms of having somebody else call plays. And you can have an offensive coordinator that doesn't call plays. I do think the point is, do they need somebody else in there who helps with either game management or who prods Kyle, you know, to think of new ideas and going back to that? And that's what I was talking about with their assistants. And I think it's just tough to find that when you don't have the shared language that Kyle has with a lot of guys who've been around since Washington. And maybe it's worth looking at somebody who's been in a different system and challenges you in a different way. But I do think some sort of substantial hire, you know, on the offensive side of the ball would probably help, if only to take some of the load off Kyle and create, I don't know, some sort of discussion about approaches that he's not necessarily considering right off the bat.
I mean, just think to a couple of years ago what the offensive staff was. You had Mike McDaniel, who's a head coach for the Dolphins. When his quarterback has been healthy, they've been one of the best offenses in the NFL. Of course, they have great weapons, but Mike McDaniel went there and they immediately took a step forward. Think about Bobby Slowick, right now, who's the OC for the Texans.
Yep.
right? And, I mean, obviously you get C.J. Stroud, who's kind of having a weird year, but you get a good quarterback, you get a good play caller, and that offense takes a major jump forward. Of course, the head coach there is D'Amico Ryans, who was defensively with the Niners. You lose, like, you had those guys in Kyle Shanahan's ear every single day for years, and now you don't have those guys anymore.
You also lost Mike LaFleur, who is the OC for the Rams, and you lost this last offseason, you lost Clint Kubiak to the Saints. It's just, at a certain point, you can't, like, the pipeline doesn't move quick enough, like you're talking about. And I just think that's where they're at. And that's not necessarily a criticism of Kyle. I think that means...
Honestly, it's a compliment.
It's a compliment. And I wrote the piece last year, the Super Bowl. He's been so, so good at hiring these guys, but there's nothing more valuable in this league from a coaching perspective than... or at least more appealing than a young offensive coach, because everybody wants the next great offensive mind.
Who's going to hire Ben Johnson?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so when you have a lot of those guys and they're all young, you lose them instead of the Chiefs, who just have lucked into this incredible situation where Spags, because he was such a bad head coach,
is willing to
doesn't even get a look, even though he's like probably the best defensive coordinator in the league, or at least a top five DC for the last decade.
Yeah.
And it's just you get that situation, and even if Sorensen were to be great, somebody else would be looking at poaching him. But now you're in this weird situation where you have to think about, is Sorensen the guy? Do you demote him or something and make Brandon Staley the guy? Is that dynamic weird for both of them? You got a lot of questions about where your coaching staff is at going forward.
Yeah.
Well, if you put Staley, you know, Staley was down with the Chargers. He was a hell of a coach, especially with the Rams as a DC. And then, you know, head coaching job didn't work out in, you know, in L.A. with the Chargers. But are you going to change? Is Shanahan willing to change his philosophy?
Mm.
Is he willing now to say,
as a
coach, is he going to say, I'm going to relieve some of my offense and say, you know what? I think my offense has to continue to evolve. Is he going to relinquish that? That's the question, guys.
I doubt it.
We can dive a little bit more into that. We're on the air, all three of us, tomorrow as well. We can dive more into that. There's plenty more to get into. We got just one short segment coming up next before we say bye today. We'll get to your last couple of calls. You can get them in now, 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs, but no Willard and Dibs this week. Mark Randy, Lo Neal, Jake Hutchinson. We're back with more to wrap up the day, and then we got Warriors basketball coming up a little bit later on. By the way, should be a ton of fun. Warriors back at home against the Nets. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. That's BayAreaOilChange.com. One more segment coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Football, most funny. They look soft, weak, and done. Tired. Please, Mr. O'Neal. Second one I'm saying, I know you know what I'm talking about. I know you know what I'm talking about, sir. 100%.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
And you did know what he was talking about.
My man came in hot. I got scared. We all didn't want to jump on that one with him. Like, dude, he went straight for the jugular. I'm like, just be nice.
Yeah, it felt like he exercised, you know? I get it.
He got it out.
If I was a Niners fan, I'd be exhausted with this team right now. It wears on you.
We were just talking during the break, and welcome back. It's Willard and Dibs, but no Willard and Dibs. It's Mark Randy, Lo Neal, and Jake Hutchinson with you. We were just talking during the break. What do we think the line is for Niners-Bills Sunday night, a week from 6 days from now, obviously. Today is Monday, last night, Sunday. Sunday Night Football coming up, Niners and Bills.
I would have thought double digits. I would think it would be about 9. 9 would be the lowest.
My guess was 8.5.
I said a touchdown.
You said a touchdown, so right around 7. And you were the closest. 6.5 is the line right now. Bills favored over the Niners.
How?
Vegas must feel like Brock Purdy is going to play.
They must feel something. They feeling something that I'm not feeling. It's just hard for me to see 6.5, especially off of a bye, when you have a Josh Allen, Buffalo Bill-led team.
That are fighting for the one seed still.
Fighting for the one seed. You know you're not, can't have a letdown. You're playing at home. The Niners just traveled to Green Bay. They came back on a short week and got to travel now to Buffalo,
yeah,
New York. What's the weather going to be there? Just imagine. Let's see where the weather's going to be.
Also, I'm pretty sure the Bills are getting Matt Milano back. If it's not this week, it's soon. But, like, they
can't let down.
They are a hoss. Like, they are a really tough assignment, even if the Niners were at full strength.
Sunday night, 26 degrees, snow showers. Winds 10 to 15 miles an hour.
Maybe that's why the line is, you know, bad weather, lower scoring game, get an opportunity for the Niners to keep it close.
But you can't stop. Yeah. You can't stop the run.
You can't run
the ball with consistency. And is Trent going to play? I mean, you got a guy that's fighting injuries. I don't think Trent Williams plays. You just pay this guy a lot of money. Do you want him to go play in 26 degree weather? Do you want Purdy, a guy you get ready to play maybe 55 smacks a year? Do you want to go put that guy out there, put him in harm's way? Are you really going to do that?
I don't know.
This is more of a game where we're doing the Dobbs discussion, where if it's going to be bad weather, then just start running some option plays and something stupid if it does get bad weather, because at the very least, you know, you get a man advantage when you have a quarterback running like that. I'm not necessarily, we already talked about the backup quarterback thing. I'm not saying Dobbs is a good quarterback.
Right.
But if it is bad weather and it is, you're missing Purdy and you're missing Trent, you know, pull that lever.
Yeah.
You know, go for the roulette wheel. Who cares?
Yeah, he's got a better chance to make things happen out of structure, no doubt. That is generally what Kyle Shanahan wants to avoid, things being out of structure. But if things do get out of structure, there's no doubt that Dobbs has a better chance of success than Brandon Allen. Let's sneak in another call here before we say bye. Jose from Oakland has been waiting patiently. Jose, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs, but no Willard or Dibs. It's Grandy, Loneal, and Hutch. How you doing, Jose?
Fine, guys. Ahead of time, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too, Jose.
Weak and done. I mean, the guy couldn't have said it any better. Quite frankly, I think it's a byproduct of age catching up with the 49ers. Some of their best players are now prone injury, and it's taking longer for them to heal. And the ones that were prone injury before, they're not even... I mean, to me, honestly, McCaffrey shouldn't even be playing right now. I just don't see the purpose of him playing at this point. They should just let him heal and maybe just regroup for next year, because this year is not happening. Right now, the team as it is, I'm not surprised that they lost. They probably wouldn't even lost even if Brock Purdy had played. The team is just tired. It seems like they don't have any, you know, the same fight as they had last year and previous years. They're missing some of the players that they had last year. Dre Greenlaw is a big piece that they're missing. And the coaching staff, they are going to have to do something with the defensive coordinator. Like I said, the guy is just too green. I know he was the last choice, but how did he get to that point? Why did he get to the point where he was the last choice? I think they waited too long on that one, and it's catching up to them. I just don't think they're going to be able to get out of this one. I mean, Buffalo, just going to put a 30 burger on them this coming Sunday, unfortunately. And I'm a big-time Niners fan, but I think we're at the same spot where the Warriors were last year. They looked down, and they were able to regroup, and this year is better.
Yeah. Jose, good call. I think Jose touched on something that we briefly brought up earlier. There is, like, just the – and Lo, I'm sure you can speak to this. There's, like, just the added – games that you play in deep postseason runs, and just the added fatigue and the added like inability to get fully healthy once again, like that just over time that adds up. And maybe it's what Debo was suffering from. Maybe it's what, I mean, Trent Williams and even Brock Purdy.
Hell, like, you can say with Kansas City, they're just finding a way to win. Kansas City, shoot, you saw a Panther team almost beat them last week.
Almost everyone they've played has almost beat them.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Except for the Niners, they hang around and wait until the fourth quarter, and Mahomes goes, all
right. Let me take over. It's my time. But they just look tired, too.
Yeah, it's 3 years in a row of deep playoff runs with the NFL season extended. And they had great injury luck last year. That was a huge part of them being dominant, is they got really lucky with injuries. And you go back to 2020, after that run, they had the worst injury luck in the NFL.
Yep.
And part of that's just insane bad luck, and part of it is the attrition that goes with playing that deep into the season and being a team that relies on being physical. And at a certain point, you wear down. And that's not necessarily a criticism of any of the players or any of the coaches. Right. That's the product of being successful. I will say, and we can probably talk about this tomorrow, is their poor drafting. Mm. They would normally have had guys to replace, but all those Trey Lance missed picks and some bad drafts, they didn't have anybody in the pipeline. So they're bad special teams. They're mediocre special backups. Yeah.
Wow. You know why Eric Saubert was playing yesterday? Because the two tight ends they drafted last year are not good enough to see the field.
Cam Latu, man. I'm telling you, I evaluated tight ends closely, and he was the only one. I was like, don't do that. And they drafted him in the third round, and I'll never get over that one. Never get
You're
over
right.
it.
Yeah, I don't. He has not played a regular season snap for the 49ers.
No, I think he's on a practice squad.
Yeah, so bad.
Yeah, they got to do a better job of drafting, but, you know, hopefully this Niner team can just play. I just want them to compete, and I think they're going to play as hard as they can, but it's tough sledding. It's really tough sledding.
It really is. All right, fellas, that's all the time we got today, but we'll be back tomorrow from 2 to 6. Looking forward to it. Great hanging out with you guys today, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Let's do it.
Appreciate you, fellas.
All right, that's Lo Neal. That's Jake Hutchinson. My name is Mark Rennie. Thanks so much for tuning in. What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It's Warriors Live with Evan Giddings ahead of Warriors versus Nets. Tip-off is a little more than an hour away. Evan Giddings will get you set for Warriors and Nets. Live from Chase Center. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're back tomorrow here on 95.7 The Game.